This is episode 15 of the Nothing Human podcast. Three Powers of the Human Spirit, part 15. Three Powers, Trauma, and Redeeming Heartache.
I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me.
Welcome to the Nothing Human podcast, a biblically informed think space for exploring and articulating all the ways we make or break sense of human experience. I'm your host, Michael Minkoff. From my youngest days, I have been fascinated with categories of thought, those often unconscious filing mechanisms that invisibly populate our premises, direct our inquiries, and ordain our conclusions. Join me as we investigate and interrogate our assumptions in an effort to articulate a more cohesive understanding of human information within the superstructure of God's truth. Hi, welcome back to the Nothing Human podcast. I'm Michael Minkoff. This is episode 15 of our series on the three powers of the human spirit. This is the last episode proper of this series, but a few concepts have come up during the series that I wanted to explore a little bit more. So I'm going to be making a couple of more episodes that will come out over the next few weeks to cover those topics. A few episodes on the body-spirit distinction, at least one episode exploring the distinction between good and evil and righteousness and wickedness, and then a few episodes after that of conversation with my sister Krista, dialoguing about her thoughts and questions from the Three Powers series. And then that'll kind of close up the Three Powers series, and we'll move on to other things. A few of you have mentioned that more dialogue might be helpful for you to process these ideas, and I thought, who better to do that than the sister who prompted me to start the series in the first place? So I'm really looking forward to that. Krista's agreed to come on the show, and we're going to record our conversations, and I'm hoping that those will be interesting and helpful to you to engage a little bit more deeply with this material. If you've not listened to the rest of the Three Powers series, I do recommend you do that before you continue here. You can find all the episodes of the Nothing Human podcast and my bonus podcast, Being Something Extra, on my website, nothinghumanpodcast.com. Please ask your questions in comment form there on my website on the relevant episode, and do remember to follow, rate, and review on your preferred podcast platform. If you want to support me and my family as I work to make complex ideas more accessible within the superstructure of biblical truth, please do so on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes, and honestly, we really appreciate all of your support and encouragement. All right, let's get into it. I recently read Dan Allender's and Kathy Lorizel's book, Redeeming Heartache, How Past Suffering Reveals Our True Calling. I read it at the recommendation of my sister Krista, she's popped up again, who bought me a copy and sent it to me. So, in the book, Allender and Lorizel make the case that traumas can be sorted into three categories, corresponding to the biblical categories of orphan, stranger, and widow, the particular classes of people God repeatedly tells his people to care for and attend to. And this is what Allender and Lorizel write on that. Quote, "The biblical categories we'll unpack, orphan, stranger, and widow, illuminate the ways evil uses abuse and trauma to keep our wounds hidden. As a result, we struggle to know who we are and whether we will be known and loved. Unresolved and unexpressed experiences of betrayal, powerlessness, and ambivalence rob us of shalom and complicate our desire for care, our longing for connection, and our search for meaning. The good news is that we need not stay in bondage to our wounds because we are also called to become priests, prophets, and kings or queens by restoring faith, hope, and love." End quote. Before we continue, it will prove helpful, I think, to define what we mean by trauma. Trauma is used to label both a particularly powerful wound, either physical or psychical, but also to the long-term effects of that traumatic incident or series of incidents. So it can refer both to the initial wound of the event that wounded us and to the experience of that wound and memory of that wound into the future and the ways that that actually affects us. So for the sake of this episode, we're going to focus on the long-term effects in our spirit of painful experiences, whether these experiences mostly involve bodily or merely psychological pain. And I don't even want to say merely psychological pain, because sometimes that's way worse than what we feel in our bodies. It's important to note that the same experience could have very different effects on different people. The same event doesn't necessarily produce the same trauma in every person. I feel like I need to emphasize this because very often we fail to recognize the significance of trauma in others if it doesn't correlate exactly to our own kinds of trauma. So Solomon uses different words to say a similar thing in Proverbs 14:10, where he writes, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy." This reminds me of a bit that comedian Brian Regan did on his special Standing Up about a kid who lost his balloon at a park. So I'm just going to play that right now.
Right in the park, we saw another family. They had like a 5-year-old boy holding a helium balloon, and he accidentally let go of his balloon. The boy started crying, and his parents were like, "Why are you crying? It's a balloon. We'll get you another one." I'm like, "Japers, grapers, folks." Sometimes I don't think adults try hard enough, you know, to understand what kids are going through. You know, if you wanted to relate to what it's going through, imagine if you took your wallet out and it just started floating away. Why are you acting like that? It's a wallet. We'll get you another one. I want one! That's what your boy's going through.
So note that this lack of empathy or understanding can occur for at least two reasons. One, because of the relative difference in the severity of the wound, and the other because of a difference in the type of wounding. So let's talk about relative difference first. Let me give you an example that might help to clarify. Objectively, or absolutely, 20 pounds may not be considered heavy. A grown adult could lift it with ease, but that same 20 pounds may be very heavy to a toddler. So this is similar to the Brian Regan bit. The adult would be really insensitive to see a toddler struggling with 20 pounds and say, 20 pounds is nothing, simply because it would not be heavy to that specific adult. And emotional burdens are really similar. So each of us has a threshold, even for the same kind of emotional trauma. And it's insensitive to look at somebody else and say they're overwhelmed by something that wouldn't overwhelm me, therefore they aren't experiencing something horrible or traumatic, because they might be experiencing something very traumatic according to their threshold relative to them. So that's an important part of being sensitive or empathetic toward other people's pain. But there's another kind of insensitivity that we should also be aware of, and that is when the losses or the pains are actually of totally different kinds. So not of relative differences in power, but actually of different kinds. So for instance, you may not experience very great trauma in the loss of a good, like a job or money, simply because quote unquote good is not as important to you. But it would be insensitive for you to say losing a job isn't that big of a deal to someone else who seems to be melting down over it, simply because it wouldn't be that big of a deal to you. And this may not just be because of a relative difference in threshold here. This might be because you don't experience those kinds of pains in the way other people do. So we should work to try to empathize with people both in accord with their relative experience of their loss and the type of loss they're experiencing as significant, even if that same type of loss wouldn't be experienced as significant to us. So part of understanding the differing power orderings of ourselves and others is both to value another person's strengths, but also to recognize and empathize with one another's differing pains and traumas. So in the book Redeeming Heartache, Allender and Lorzel claim that we each have a central pain, a pain or a wound that particularly creates trauma in each of us as individuals. These central traumas are the trauma of being an orphan, a widow, or a stranger. And Allender and Lorzel describe each of these traumas in some degree of depth, a lot more depth than I'm going to go into, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a nutshell, and I think you'll be able to pick it up, especially if you're very familiar with the three powers concept, because a lot of what they're talking about, even though they don't mention it, has a lot to do with Three Powers. We'll talk more about that in a second. But first, they write concerning the orphan mentality, quote, "An orphan mentality becomes activated when our needs are not taken care of, profoundly affecting our style of relating. We become emotionally orphaned when the element of betrayal enters our lives. Understanding that all forms of betrayal leave a child feeling vulnerable, helpless, and alone is imperative. His world has told him that people, structures, and systems are not to be relied on, and it's up to him to keep himself safe and take care of his own needs." End quote. Since they write that betrayal may not be intentional, it's important to understand what the orphan mentality actually is, because betrayal can happen even when it's not intentional, when expectations for results are not met. In other words, an orphan learns to rely on themselves because they can't trust that anyone else either cares or is able to make things happen for them. This obviously can become self-confirming, where because they don't trust other people, they're never even willing to give other people a chance. And so people less and less actually try to take care of things for them because it never seems good enough when they do. And so that's a cycle of itself and a vicious cycle oftentimes. But for now, in a nutshell, I just want you to consider that the orphan mentality refers to a felt loss of control over outcomes or a loss of power. Now, the stranger, which they go on to describe, that central trauma, on the other hand, is a loss of connection, inclusion, and mutual understanding. Allender and Lorzel write, "When we're not welcomed, we experience betrayal of our deepest desire to be included. At that point, we're in a bind. We want to be normal, but also exceptional. We want to fit in, but be a unique self. This bind is strengthened when we feel like we're on the outside looking in, wondering why others don't enjoy or respect us as we desire." End quote. And lastly, Allender and Lorzel write about the widow's central trauma as a loss of good. Quote, "While an orphan is at war with care and rest, and a stranger is at war with hope, a widow is at war with love. The bitter parts of her story have told her that love and re-engagement are no longer possible, so she is caught in a web of ambivalence. Ambivalence is the experience of feeling two diametrically opposed feelings at once. The widow wants the love she lost, while also grieving what she fears will never be available again. Unless she is willing to bear the agony of loss, however, she will abort all future attempts at love and fulfillment and settle for a cheaper version that can never rival the original." End quote. After discussing each of these central traumas in greater detail than I just have, Allender and Lorzel take each in turn to discuss three paths of healing. And they correlate each central pain to a central aspect of our individual callings, which they frame in terms of the offices of prophet, priest, and king. And they believe these callings to be redemptive, meaning that by pursuing these callings, you can actually address some of the traumas that you've been experiencing in these central pains. Much of their work here is admirable, and I do agree that the traumas relate to the offices of our callings. I think that's a brilliant insight. However, unfortunately, I really do strongly disagree with Allender and Lorzel on which traumas link up to which offices. I think if they had correlated the traumas and the offices to the three powers, the connections would have been much more obvious. As it is, I think they mostly diagnosed the traumas accurately, but then became blurry and less focused in their discussions of the healing pathways. So I'm going to discuss that a little bit further. I think it's important. Please understand, I'm not trying to be nitpicky here. My central desire for the truth is not merely academic, but deeply practical. And I don't think the healing pathways discussed in this book will work as well as they could in their current alignments. It seems clear even in the text that Allender and Lorzel must mix together properties of all the other offices and traumas to make their system work, mostly because I don't think their categorical framework is very precise. So, I agree with them on one alignment, and that is that the stranger trauma points very clearly to the calling of the prophet. This makes perfect sense. In fact, being a stranger is almost necessary to fulfill the office of the prophet. Note in the scriptures that prophets spoke truth to power, and they had to resist being co-opted by the powers they held accountable. So they had generally speaking, no formal place in the ecclesiastical or civil structures of government by design. Meaning, if they had been priestly and inside the priesthood, or if they had been kingly and inside the royal palace, in either of those places, the needs or the wants of those particular offices might have co-opted or tried to control or constrain their prophetic voice. And so in some ways, by formal arrangement, the prophet had no place or didn't generally have any place in those two places, in the palace of the king or in the temple of the priests. They sometimes did. There was sometimes some overlap. But formally, the prophet had no place, technically, and most prophets were strangers and outsiders. And this was by design. Their very existence as outsiders made their prophetic work a lot easier because they saw things more objectively, with less vested interest in how things went, and with less likelihood of corruption. And Allender and Lorzel make this connection excellently well in Redeeming Heartache. And the other alignments, on the other hand, I think are actually backwards. So I first had an inkling this might be the case on my first reading of the book, because I have a person very close to me that I have been trying to figure out for a long time. I have been trying to figure out how to help this person, and I've been trying to gain insight into the pains that they feel and the way they view the world. And when I read Lorzel's description of the orphan type, a light bulb immediately went off, and I immediately thought, wow, that's it. That is exactly it. And so I was really excited to read on and find out, okay, well, if that's the problem, what's the solution? And then when I went to read The Path of Healing for the Orphan Type, it recommended embracing the calling of a priest. And during that whole section, it just did not connect hardly at all for me. It just seemed to have no connection pretty much whatsoever. And it seemed like the reason for that is that I was making connections on the basis of three powers, which may have been implicit in some of the connections that Allender and Lorzel were making. But because they hadn't made those explicit connections, they were making alignments that didn't really line up. So for me, it was obvious that the prophet type was the intellect type, that the priest type was the affectional type, and that the king type or queen type was the volitional or will-oriented type. So that made it really clear that if those were the types of the offices, then the traumas that they experienced would correlate to a loss of their goal in those three places, especially one they didn't have any control over. So a lot of traumas happen when you're a kid, when there's very little that you can do about it. And if you are already oriented towards valuing good, for instance, as a priestly type, then you're very susceptible to widowing type pain or trauma. And if you are a kingly type as you're growing up and you really desire to maintain and exercise will and choice and agency, then a loss of agency at a young age can be highly traumatic. And so that would be the orphan type pain. And if you are yourself a prophetic type who wants to understand things and be understood, then rejection and a lack of understanding and connection would obviously be something that would be a massive trauma experience in your youth, especially when there's nothing you can do about it. And so in all three of those cases, that made a whole lot of sense for me. And because of that, when I got to their recommendations for pathways of healing, the stranger to prophet pipeline made total sense. But I did not feel at all like the others made sense. And it was particularly this one of the priestess coming from the orphan that I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. If orphan pain is loss of power, then why would the affectional mastery be the solution for that or the calling that it revealed? The very strength of the orphan is in self-reliance and competency. And because others have not done for her, she has learned to become exceedingly competent in exercises of choice and in exercises of power. In other words, in exercises of will. So the orphan is very clearly the trauma of a will-oriented person. And she, in order to compensate for this unmet need in her life, she's filled with capacity, resourcefulness, and independent perseverance. She obviously also needs comfort and understanding and rest, but your calling is not so much about what you need, but what you can actually do or serve in the kingdom. So no doubt orphans need comfort. They need empathy and compassion. They need rest and refreshment. But that is not what they provide to themselves. They may need priests, but that doesn't mean they are priests or should be priests. And even if they were, their callings would not first be to themselves, but to others. All that to say, I felt that chapter in Redeeming Heartache just didn't work. And similarly, I thought the chapter on widows becoming queens was blurry and imprecise. If the widow's central loss is of good, and of life, and of vitality, how does pursuing authority resolve that? This, again, could easily become a calling that is self-serving. A widow may need a king to provide stable and dependable good to her, or a queen, but she doesn't gain power in order to get herself good. That's a disorder. In both cases, it seemed like Allender's and Lorzel's recommendations would actually produce only a false and temporary comfort. Certainly, self-soothing, self-pity, and narratives of victimization are something orphans sometimes resort to, but the solution to that is not that their own priestly functions of empathy should be inwardly directed. Instead, the solution is agency and responsibility, the mastery of the will. And certainly, widows might be tempted to be queens to themselves, so they can gain and hold and never lose all the good they desire, but again, this would be a disorder. Both of these solutions will only produce temporary comfort and at the expense of the communities these traumatized individuals exist in. And I think this points to one of the central problems in the book, and that is that Allender and Lorzel at times confuse literal orphans, widows, and strangers with the types that they have established in their names. For example, a literal orphan might experience more of a widow's pain in her particular loss of a parent. Though she may literally be an orphan, she might experience the loss of a parent as a loss of good or a loss of love, more than as a loss of power or control. A literal widow might be feeling an orphan's grief if the main feeling she has in the loss of a husband or a loved one is more helplessness than loss of connection. A literal stranger might be experiencing more of an orphan's trauma if that person feels like a lack of welcome or inclusion has left them powerless to decide their own destiny. In my opinion, Allender and Lorzel should have been clearer about the distinction between the realities and the types of the three kinds of trauma. One example of this confusion is when Allender writes, quote, "The core wound of a stranger is powerlessness. He sees what could be, but has been rendered impotent to bring redemption," end quote. The reason the stranger is powerless in this context is because the stranger is an outsider. You could say this exact same sentence, though, concerning the orphan, and it would be more accurate. The pain of being a stranger is centrally the pain of being misunderstood, unwelcome, othered, outsidered. The consequences of that exclusion might additionally be powerlessness, but it is the misunderstanding and the othering, firstly, that makes a stranger in type, and not the powerlessness. I think all of this could have been much more clear if Allender and Lorzel had applied three powers categories to their alignments of these things. So, drawing from Redeeming Heartache, with some corrective refining through the three powers framework, I would align the traumas and their redemptive callings like this. If your central trauma is of the stranger, a loss of connection, of welcome, and of understanding, your redemptive path of calling is through the office of the prophet. If your central trauma is of the widow, a loss of good, of love, or of vitality, your redemptive path of calling is through the office of the priest. And if your central trauma is of the orphan, a loss of control, of power, or of agency, your redemptive path of calling is through the office of the king. There are a few things to keep in mind here. A calling does not involve service to self, but to others in the kingdom of God. And you should serve your community in your strengths. A widow can comfort and pray and empathize and give as a priestess because she longs for and understands such good and such care. What she longs for herself, that she lost, this comfort, this peace, this good life, she can now pursue for the sake of others. An orphan can lead and organize competently because she has had to do and knows how to get things done. What she longed for herself and was betrayed in, to have her expectations and agreements met, she now does in the service of others as a queen. A stranger, an outsider, can speak the truth to power and understand and speak the truth of others because they see things clearly and understand what it is like to want to be understood, to wish you had an advocate. What he longs for himself and has been denied, welcome and understanding, he can pursue now for the sake of others. There's something important going on here. Healed strangers, prophets or prophetesses, must reconcile themselves to giving up the welcome, inclusion, and connection that they long for. Healed orphans, kings or queens, must reconcile themselves to giving up the control and security for themselves that they long for. Healed widows and widowers, priestesses and priests, must reconcile themselves to giving up the good, the pleasure, that they long for. All these things God has granted to them to help others. Now, if everyone were functioning like this, taking their central longing and treating others as they would like to be treated, it wouldn't be that hard to do it. Because if you had some feeling, a longing for connection, and everyone around you was like, hey, that guy really feels like he needs welcome. He's an outsider. Let's bring him in. Let's fulfill that longing. Or if you had a longing for good or pleasure or security or peace, and people around you said, hey, that person's a little insecure. That person is desirous of this good thing that we have. Let's share. Let's be generous. Or if you were in need of agency or responsibility and people around you were really considerate of that and said, hey, let's put you in a position where you have that agency and let's not make you feel helpless and powerless and take that control away from you. I mean, if you had that experience and you were a child and you were treated really well and you had perfect parents and your friend group was really great and the environment you grew up in was always looking and saying, hey, there's that longing. Let's do what we can to fulfill it. Then I don't even know that there would even be traumas. You understand? And so we all exist in this reality. We all exist in a reality where a lot of times our deepest felt longings and needs are not being fulfilled by the people around us. So the question is, what do you do concerning that? A lot of people turn inward and they try to use their greatest strengths in order to try to console their losses. And you can see this with the ambivalence of the widow. And you can see this in the stick-to-itiveness and self-reliance of the orphan. And you can see this also in the cynicism and the other's rejection, the othering that goes on from prophets to those who have rejected them. Well, you know, I'm not fired, I quit, you know, that kind of a thing. And yet, there's still those deep wounds that are there that are not being resolved and that really we can't resolve on our own. But to ask a person in the midst of their trauma to give up the very thing they long for is foolish beyond degree, and I totally understand that. It is not wrong to desire connection, to desire to be understood, to desire empathy and care and security, agency, pleasure, peace, and all things like it. So if a stranger does come to you, you really shouldn't be telling them, hey, you need to be more worried about others. So understand others and don't be so worried about being understood yourself. Why not just give them what they long for? Understand them. Give them the very care and connection and welcome that they've been missing. And if a widow comes to you, don't tell them they should be more worried about comforting others. Comfort them. Care for them. Show them the good life. And if an orphan comes to you longing for control and agency, grant them the dignity of agency and responsibility, and also fulfill your promises to them without fail, and try to meet those expectations to the best of your ability. Don't tell them they need to be doing something. Try to do for them the thing they long for. God has an overflowing heart for the wounded and for the traumatized. And in so many places in the scriptures, he has commanded his people to attend to the hurting ones, to the wounded ones, particularly to the powerless orphan, the empty-handed widow, and the unwelcome stranger. Please do your part. You may never know how your small service to fulfill the needs of your neighbors help them to heal and pursue their redemptive callings. And if you are pursuing healing from some trauma yourself, and perhaps you're ready to turn your most pressing need inside out, to press forward, further, onward, and upward into the kingdom of God, I do recommend the prayer of St. Francis. It goes like this. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Lord, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives, it is in self-forgetting that one finds, it is in forgiving that one is forgiven, it is in dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Thank you all for joining me on this exploration of the three powers of the human spirit, the proper series of which is done for now. I have a few more episodes in the queue, and then I'll be starting a brand new series. I really look forward to something new. This month, I'll also be dropping a new bonus episode to Being Something Extra, which is the companion podcast to this one. And that episode is going to be called 2020 Hind Blindness. I hope you enjoy it. I really appreciate how you all have engaged with my work, and I encourage you to share it around. My family and I would love if I could write and speak for a living, and you all are helping me make that happen. We are very grateful. If you want to hear any of the other podcast episodes in this series, I recommend that you find them on nothinghumanpodcast.com. And if you have any other questions or comments, please do post them to the relevant episode on nothinghumanpodcast.com. All right, thank you, and until next time.
I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me.